Good morning, church. How's everyone this morning? I'm not checking my email. I'm looking for some scripture here, so, and I can't find it. Y'all visit for just about 10 seconds here. Found it. Well, welcome. Welcome to Wiley Methodist Church. For those of you worshiping online with us this morning, God bless you. We're privileged that you would spend your worship time with us. How many came to the trunk or treat yesterday? A lot of people, right? I think last count there were 75,000 people, I think. And we had a billion pieces of candy, and we had just a small bucket this size with about that much candy left in the bottom. And we had to kind of trim back towards the end to make sure everybody got something. You know, I was thinking about that time. You know, what a blessing that was for our community to come somewhere that's safe to do something like that. There was just lots of joy, lots of peace. Did you guys experience that? And I just wonder if it was people being on our property. You know, we hear a lot of times people coming into our building, they feel the presence of the Lord. So I just wonder if that just kind of washed over to our exterior part and people are just got ministered to by the Lord. The Gideons handed out Bibles. And we need to pray for fruit to develop from that. That those kids will take those Bibles and come to know Jesus through the Word. Just a great day. I was going to read some scripture, right? All right, here it is. This is Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. We have a king, church, and he rules and he reigns this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I do thank you for yesterday. Father, I don't know what you were doing in the spiritual realm. Lord, I just pray for fruit to come out of that. But I just pray that the adults that were here that just sensed this peace and this joy that we saw, I just pray that something's intriguing about that to where they dive a little deeper into that. And Lord, I pray for those who receive the word, God. I just pray that maybe their parents read that to them, and Lord, I just pray that something erupt in their hearts, that they know without a doubt that Jesus is Lord. So Lord, do a mighty work in our community. Father, we thank you this morning for being able to get together and worship you. Father, we want to do that unhindered this morning, and we declare Jesus, you at the right hand of the Father, you're King, and you rule and you reign, and we want to honor you this morning through what we do. Thank you for your goodness, in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Good morning, church. Let's all sing.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see mountain, you see a mountain, and as I walk through the shadows, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe here. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before.
Good night.
Everybody had it. Go. He's worthy. Clap your hands, all ye people, because God is worthy. Amen. Let's lift him up. Let's lift him up. That's why we're here. Here we go. We're going to sing it again. Here we go. On four.
And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me, to me. And I sing because you are good, and I shout because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good.
I want to say, for all of us, Jesus, we will never lose faith in you.
Amen.
As I've gotten older, I've decided that I don't want my wife to ever lose faith in me. That would break my heart if she thought, no, you can't drive good anymore. You know what I mean? I don't want Angie to ever think, oh, that Trevor, he's just not what he used to be. I don't want that. You know, and I got to thinking the other day when Jesus was in the boat asleep and there was a storm and the disciples were scared and they woke Jesus up and they said, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus, you know, always read it as him being frustrated, like, come on, guys, I'm tired. Leave me alone. Oh, ye of little faith. But now I think maybe when he said, oh, ye of little faith, he was saying more like, what do you mean, do I not care? Of course I care. And I decided I don't ever want to make Jesus sad that I lost faith.
Right.
I think it makes him sad. Because he can do anything. He knows he can do anything.
Yeah.
And God, forgive me for not having faith. He can do anything, and he will if I'll just let him do it and get out of the way and stop worrying and rushing him. If I'll just wait, he's got it. He's gonna take care of it. And so I think, God, I'd like to speak for all of us. Jesus, we will not lose faith in you.
Amen.
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 God is good, and I'm expecting great things in our service this morning. How about y'all? Me too. Well, kids, are y'all ready for the children's sermon? Because it is time.
Thank you. All right. Do what? Oh, I did bring my sand with me this morning. Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning? Yes, I know. I brought something with me, fun, something really fun to play in, right? All right. Well, good. How's everybody this morning?
Good.
Are you excited to be here?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I am excited for you to be here today. So I'm going to scoot over a little bit because I need to move this over. So as ever, several people have noticed, this is my microphone right here, okay? So as several kids have noticed, I brought a bucket of sand with me today. Oh, it's a very heavy bucket. And I need to do something with it. I just need to take it back out to the volleyball court. You want to play in it? I don't think that we need to play in it in here. I don't want to be the one to vacuum it up. So, okay. So, I have this bucket of sand and I need to move it out to the volleyball court. Who would be willing to do that for me? Oh, wow. All of y'all would be willing to do that? All right. Put your hands down for a minute. So do you think it would be an easy job to do or a hard job?
Easy.
Easy? Are you sure? Could be hard. It's kind of heavy. But if you carried it out there, you could dump it in. You'd be done, right? So, well, so part of this, I have some instructions to move my bucket of sand. Okay. The bucket of sand has to stay right here, and the only thing you can move it with is my spoon. You have to take one spoon at a time and take it to the volleyball court. And then come back and get another spoon. And then come back and get another spoon. And get back and get another spoon. Would you get tired of doing this?
I could just put it next to the volleyball court and just pick it up. And
no, because I'm giving you instructions. You have to follow my instructions. Do you have to follow instructions? That would be the easy way, right? Right. But even if you have a job and it's really hard, and you might think there might be an easier way, there may be a reason why you just need to use the spoon. So if someone told you to do that, if I said, would you move this bucket of sand out there with the spoon at a time, would you be willing to do that? Okay, that's right. So you know what? After a while, you probably would just go, I am really tired of moving that sand. That's a lot of sand. Would you just give up and quit?
No.
You would finish the job?
Yes,
you promised me you wouldn't quit. You would really finish it all the way to the end. Are you sure? All right. So, yeah, well, I'm not going to ask you to move that bucket of sand with one spoon, okay? So what I want to talk about is, you know, that God gives us jobs to do. Now, he doesn't always tell us to take out the bucket of sand, but he tells us to do all kinds of things. He tells us to be kind to one another. He tells us to help at home. He tells us just to do all kinds of things. And when God gives us a job to do, do we need to obey him and do the job? Do we always finish the jobs God tells us to do? No. We get tired. It gets really hard. And annoying, okay, all right. But you know what? The really great, amazing thing is when God gives you a job to do, he's going to do it with you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's right there with you. And he's going to ask you to do something that he knows that you, only you can do. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So when God is with us and we're doing a job, do we need to finish it to the end? Then we work hard and complete it, and we do it all to the very end and finish it, right? So and we can trust God that he's with us, right? Does he ever say, oh, you do that job, I'm going over here? No, he is with us. And God tells us in Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Whatever God tells us to do, he's with us, and he will make it possible for us to finish the job, even if it's really hard, even if it is moving this bucket of sand one spoon at a time. God is with you. And your job is maybe going to school every day. Is it hard sometimes to go to school? Yeah. But is God with you? Can you do all things because God's with you? Yes, we can do all things because God makes it possible, right? So we are so thankful that God is with us all the time. So let's say a prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, and I thank you that you are with us and that all things are possible because of you, Lord, and that we can do our jobs that you've called us to do, and that we will listen and we will be obedient. And even when the jobs are hard, we can finish them to the end because you are with us and watching over us. And we thank you for these boys and girls that are here today. And we just ask for your blessings over us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.
Ms. Carlene.
Yes.
Ruiz de Aragón. Yo tengo 12 años y me gusta mucho dibujar y cocinar. Un día yo estaba dibujando y quería unos marcadores y le pregunté a mi mamá si me podía comprar, pero ella dijo que no podía porque no tenía dinero. Hoy nos dieron unas cajas y eso me hizo sentir muy emocionada. Cuando abrí la caja y vi que tenían estos marcadores, me sentí muy emocionada. porque vinieron cosas que yo nunca pude tener, pero ahora, gracias a Dios, tengo. Yo aprendí de Dios a través de la cajita. Oré hoy para que Jesús entrara en mi corazón. Y estoy muy agradecida con todos, con Dios, con ustedes, por traerme esta cajita.
Operation Christmas Child, an opportunity to share God's love and grace and his message to children around the world through a gift. And so this past year, Operation Christmas Child sent out over 9 million boxes. Now, I've got two helpers going to help me out with something. So y'all come on up. Go ahead. So when you send out a box, the box goes to one child. If you're touched, stand up, please. A box goes to one child, but the potential of that box is to touch 10 other people. So as they move around the sanctuary touching people, that box symbolizes being spread to 10 extra folks. So if you do the math, and 9 million boxes went out, how many people could be touched? Give me a number. 90 million people through the precious box that's sent to a child in some country. We don't even know where they all go. And so as we give this year an opportunity to get a box and put some stuff in it and send it out. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you. It was just kind of a visual. Just an opportunity to send that out, and then when they get that, to have an opportunity to go through the greatest journey, which is a study for a child to understand who Jesus is. And then that goes to 10 more people. Holy smoke. That's quite a ministry. Now, I'm going to pray in a minute. This is something that I shared with my Sunday school class this morning. I just ran across it this morning. I was looking some stuff up on Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. To me, that's the greatest gift we could possibly give. There's a website that says, here's 7 reasons not to give to Operation Christmas Child. Folks, there's people out there that don't want this to happen. There are people out there who are anti-Christ, anti-God, and I'm going to pray against that when we pray in a few minutes. The word needs to go. This is one avenue we have. Please take it. We're going to stand and do the Apostles' Creed, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. If you would stand, please. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the life everlasting. Amen. And y'all may be seated. Let's pray. Father, as we meet this morning, I want to pray against, God, I just want to pray against anything that would hinder your word going out. And I know that we're still dealing with COVID, we're still dealing with transportation issues, but God, in your infinite power, you can pull all that together and you can make sure that boxes get sent to kids and we have a multiplication by 10. God, for every box that goes out, we have a multiplication of 10. That 10 other people get to hear the message of Jesus Christ because that box went to a child. And so this morning, for those that are in charge of this thing, for the Grahams, as they oversee Samaritan's Purse and the things that they do, God, for those that are in the organizational side of this and the hurdles that they face, give them grace today. God, just pour out your mercy on them and let them see your way through. God, I pray for Naomi and our own group here as she ramrods this thing here in Abilene and the surrounding area. Just give her strength. Father, just give her the wisdom that she needs in these coming days. It's going to start getting kind of hectic. And so we're just going to pray your peace on her as well. Father, for this church, as we build boxes, that everything that goes into them would be what a child needs, but especially the opportunity to take the journey to learn about you. And as we pray, I just ask that our hearts would be together on that. And then we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This is our offertory. If you have anything to bring, a gift of offering, you bring it up to the front now.
Thank you. Good morning, church. Billy kind of asked you some of this, but I'm going to ask again. How many of you had a trunk yesterday? Bunch of you. We had a gazillion people. I don't know how much a gazillion is, but that's about how many it was. But seriously, the best count that I think we had around 2,000 people that came through, and people were parking 2 and 3 blocks away from our church to get to us. It was crazy, good stuff. We got a little video. You want to show that video of kind of what took place yesterday? And at the end of that time, we had around 50,000 pieces of candy when we started, and in the middle of it, we saw that we were, man, going to be cutting it close, so I think Naomi went out and got everything that Dollar General had, another 10 bags of candy, and at the end, I caught this picture of Carlene right after everything was over with. Go ahead and show that picture. That's all we had left, five apples. So we could have served 5 more kids, but that's it. Well, it was a great day, and as Billy said, sometimes you wonder, what are we accomplishing here? But I think, as Billy said, as people come onto our property, I pray that they feel the love of Christ and from our people, and I think that was evident. If you are our guest this morning, we are really glad that you're here. Hope you feel loved and feel the love of God's people and the love of the Spirit here. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest, has a blue stripe on it, and would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but I'd love to meet you. One of the things that I don't know about other churches, but we like new people. We like new people. So I will be out in the foyer down here and would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to set this passage up. The first thing before we enter into this text today And we all know this, but the condition that we find ourselves in outside of Christ is found in Romans 3, among many other places. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, that's none of us escape that. We all come. That's a condition that we come into the world in. We've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. So, and the Scripture also tells us that sin. There are consequences for sin. The consequences is death. I mean, it separates us from God. So we're in trouble. When we come into the world, we are automatically behind the eight ball. So Ephesians 1, and this is the good news to that condition we find ourselves in. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In Him, speaking of Christ, in Him we have redemption through His blood. Anybody, is there an amen anywhere? We have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, You are, as we've sang and as we've prayed, You are welcome here. We need You. We ask You, Holy Spirit, to come and speak in power and authority. And transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know I used to be young? Did you know that? And in my younger days, when I had two fully functioning knees, Cheryl and I, you've heard me talk about this, we used to like to backpack. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I've actually brought a backpack. I need one young virile guy, and I'm looking. Oh, thanks, Ty. Come on up. Come on, Ty Adams. Everybody give Ty a hand. Thank you so much, Ty, for volunteering. You ever been backpacking?
Very little.
Very, in other words, no. Okay, this is a backpack. This the church owns some backpack. This is a backpack, and I've loaded it with 30 pounds, which is actually kind of a lightweight for backpacking. So I'm going to rig you up, put your arm right through that, and then put your arm through there. Now the trick is going. Now we want to cinch up the belt. You snap it together right there and cinch it with that. You want the weight to ride on your hips there. Okay, we're gonna get this one here so you kind of hold. Okay, now here's the reason we needed young and virile. That's a strange word. I don't know if I've ever said that word before. It's because I want you to do is we're gonna simulate a backpacking trip. Okay, so I want you to walk out, go up the stairs, and then come back down and then meet me here in front of the go. Let's see how fast. Now don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. We're not insured, so. All right. It doesn't pay to know the preacher. Everybody, from now on, when I say it, y'all are all going to be ducking your heads, aren't you? I know how you are. Well, while he's on his backpacking trail, let me tell you. So here's the deal. When you backpack, normally the women, you normally give them about a 20-pound pack, and the men 30 plus. It just depends on, you have to distribute the weight, but generally 30 is a pretty light pack. And so in your packing uphill, and it's usually about an 8 or 9 hour day from the trailhead up to where you're going to stop. At least that's the way we've done it. And when you get to the top, you're tired. You're tired. So you think, so he's emulating. We want to make sure. If he doesn't come back, Jamie, would you go check on him here in a little while? If he doesn't come back? Okay. So the stairs are simulating, but I want you to remember now that'll take him a couple of minutes to do the stairs, but multiply that and make it an 8 hour day carrying that weight. Billy, what do you think? Maybe I should have gotten a younger, more virile. Is he good? He's not Is our medical team, we got some of our medical team here? Ready? Hey, hey! All right, we need oxygen at the ready. All right, so, we're going to take that off right here. Unsnap there and unsnap your holster there. Sam, just if you would, just set it right down. So what was the, now that you've had the complete experience, what was the best thing about the whole from start to finish?
The elevator.
All right, go say, everybody give Ty a hand. Now we know why it took him a while. You know, my two volunteers this morning have each had smart-alecky comments. The early service, the comment was, what was the best thing? Not having to listen to you was what that one said. What I was hoping for was something along the lines of when I got to take the pack off and set it down. I should have coached you up, Ty, I'm sorry. The elevator, that was a classic, bud. So, I'm continuing the sermon series, Identity with Christ, Identity in Christ. Now, everybody take their index finger. We've been giving you our index finger workout. 2 weeks ago, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Last week, you were chosen by God. This week, you are forgiven. Point. You are forgiven. Now, I know we're probably, most of us are believers in Christ, and I get it, yeah, I'm forgiven. But the greatest thing about the backpacking trip was when we got to where we were going, taking the pack off. And I mean, your shoulders hurt, your hips hurt, you're sweaty. It's a relief to take that weight off. Church, too many of us are carrying around a weight when Christ is already wanting to carry it for us. So we're gonna dive right in to this whole concept. We're gonna talk about being forgiven. The first thing is, church, your sins have been paid for, blotted out, and carried away. This passage we read today, in Him, in Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. It didn't say some sins, most sins, sins that weren't too bad. It doesn't say that it depends on how big of a sin it was or when you committed it or under what circumstances. It just says our sins in Him are forgiven. Sin. So as I said earlier, we're saddled with this. We come in this condition and come into the world. And it's before, when we're babies, when we come in, before we even have the ability to make a conscious decision to disobey God and sin, we come in with a condition of sin upon us. So go ahead and show that. So sin, we're carrying this sin, but through Christ your sins have been paid for. Go ahead, Lee. Been paid for, blotted out, carried away. All sins, period. End of story. If the Rolodex is going in your mind of, what does it cover? This one? Does it cover this one? Does it cover this one? Does it cover? Yes. The answer is yes. It does. The blood of Christ covers it all. All sin. It's been paid for, blotted out, carried away. Corrie Ten Boom. Many of you know the name Marv, and I'm gonna take my notes. Netherlands. That's Dutch. Is Netherlands? I should have remembered that. She was Corrie Ten Boom. We've probably heard the name. She was a Dutch. Ended up being like a Christian author and speaker and all. But her and her sister and her father, he was a watchmaker in the Netherlands during World War II, and they were Christians, and they ended up hiding Jews and helping them to escape the death camps. And they ended up being caught, and all three of them were put into concentration camps themselves. Corrie Ten Boom's father died in camp. Her sister died in these camps, and she survived it. And one of her, I love this quote that she had a gift for words. And here's what she says about this. She says, God buries our sins in the depths of the sea and then puts up a sign that reads, no fishing. Don't you love that? And let me tell you, this isn't just she had, you know, this fanciful way of speaking, but she lived it out. The two of the guards that were in the prison camps that her and her sister were in that were very brutal to them, especially her sister, and her sister obviously ended up dying. She went back after World War II and met up with these two guards and publicly forgave them. She didn't just talk a good game. She walked it. Secondly, all charges have been dropped and your slate is clean. All charges. This charge of that we're sinners. We are we're sinners. None of us are holy, that we all fall short of the glory of God. So in this passage we read today, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. Now, that's that redemption, it's not a word we use all the time. So kind of a good working definition of that word redemption is to gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. Clearing a debt. So I've asked permission to share this story. Many of you knew Lane Jackson. He passed away. Has it been 2 years ago? And Lane was a super guy. So many of us loved Lane. And Lane was a teacher and a coach and for his career and was not one prone to exaggeration or making things up or being, you know, saying outlandish things or whatever. But Lane shared with me, and I shared this at his funeral. He shared with me, he went on a walk to Emmaus is when this happened for him, and there was one of the evenings that he was in his room, and he was by himself, and he saw this vision in his room. He saw a whiteboard. Now, I'm thinking, God, isn't God amazing? I mean, Lane, a teacher, I mean, how many times had he probably drawn up football plays or lessons, class lessons on a whiteboard? So he saw a whiteboard, and he saw all of his sins written all over this whiteboard. And then he saw the hand of God come in and wiping it. God was just telling Lane, it's all clean. I've wiped the slate clean. All charges are dropped. Psalms 103 says it this way, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Now, too many times, church, we want to carry that weight. I don't know why. Why do we do that? I don't know why. We just do. It's like, oh, well, God can, He can forgive the big stuff, but He can't forgive this, or He can forgive the little stuff, but He can't forgive this. And we're just bound and determined. No, the board is clean. It's wiped clean through the blood of Christ. Thirdly, God's not holding anything against you, so you don't have to carry guilt or shame anymore. Now, it's interesting. It's interesting in Genesis, as we read about Adam and Eve and how things started off for mankind. And here in Genesis 2:25, here's what it says. This was before they ate of the tree in the garden. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Shame wasn't there. But when sin came into the picture, they felt shame. They began to cover themselves up and hide from God. Shame, church, I'm just telling you, if you feel guilt or shame, if you're in Christ Jesus, that's not from the Lord. Hello, is this on? That's not from the Lord. Guilt and shame comes from the enemy. Now, God convicts us of sin in our life, and He invites us to hand that over to Him, to drop that weight. But He never shames us. He never makes us to feel guilty. Listen to Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. I am he who blots out, there it is, blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. There is a song, it's a little older praise song, and it's called What Sin. Morgan Cryer, thank you, Mar, for reminding me who sang that. Morgan Cryer was the artist, and the sin, the song talks, is the name of it is What Sin, and he's, at the first of the song, he's listing out all of these sins that he's carrying around and all these, and he's asking God, please, won't you forgive me of these sins? Please, 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 please. And the chorus, God responds and says, what sin? What sin? I've cast those as far as the east is from the west. So through the blood of Christ, we don't have to carry guilt and shame anymore. We can lay down our baggage, lay down our weight before Him, and rest our shoulders. I mean, that's a good feeling when you get to the top of the mountain and you take that pack off and you thump it on the ground and your shoulders just freeze you up. It's like, whew, that feels so good. Fourthly, Jesus intentionally, that's an important word, Jesus intentionally took your sin and set you free. Intentionally. And I've talked about this before, but a couple of years ago, this really struck me, and I've shared it, but I'm going to share it again. Jesus, I think it's around 13 different times. I've got it documented in some of my notes, but I think it was around 13 different times in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that it's recorded where Jesus is telling His disciples, here's what's going to happen. We're going to Jerusalem, and here's what's going to happen. The Son of Man, me, Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to, we're going to go into Jerusalem. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be beaten and whipped and spat upon. He's going to be nailed to a cross. He's going to be killed. He's going to rise on the third day. He's telling them what's going to happen. And if this is Jerusalem and I'm Jesus and I know what's going to happen, I'm going this way. But Jesus, there's a passage that says that as they're entering into Jerusalem, that him and the disciples, Jesus is leading the way. Why would he do that? Intentionally, he took your sin. He intentionally, because he loves you. And he sets you free. There's just, again, that freedom of just letting that baggage, let it down. Let it down. That's what he's saying. I got it. I've already paid for that. What sin? In Jesus, we have forgiveness of sins that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. That's what it's saying is, he knew what he was doing. With all wisdom, he had the knowledge of what was happening. He had the understanding of what was fixing to happen. And he did it because he loves us. Romans 5, you see at just the right time when we were all really good people. Is this on? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I misspoke that. Let me say it again. You see at just the right time when we were still powerless. Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the ones that had their act together. He died for the ungodly. I don't know about you. I qualify. I'm on the list. He died for me. God demonstrates. He doesn't just talk about it. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now listen to the rest of this. Since we have now been justified by his blood, that means that we have been made righteous, that it's just as if we've never sinned. God looks at us and says and doesn't see it. And by his blood, he doesn't see that. We have now been justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? We don't like to talk about God's wrath, but God's wrath comes against us as sinners. He comes against sin. But he's made a way out of that. John chapter 8, so if the Son, meaning Jesus, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There's freedom. It's like Take that weight off, church. Take it off. Set it down. Rest your shoulders. Recover. It's what he wants for you. Sometimes as I'm doing, I tell this background a little bit when we do communion sometimes, but the Passover, you know, the people of God, the Israelites, they're in bondage. They're in bondage to the Egyptians, but we're in bondage to our sin. And they're in bondage in death. The spirit of death is going to, the angel of death is going to come through and is going to wipe out the whole nation of Egypt. But God gives his people a way out. He says, go and sacrifice this pure, innocent lamb and take the blood and paint it on the door and go inside that home. And when the angel of death comes through and he sees the blood on the door, death will pass over that house. He doesn't say, go ahead and show that slide, Lee. I ran across this a couple of years ago. Y'all may have seen it. The Lord did not check to see who inside the house was worthy. He checked for the blood on the doorpost. So that's what the blood of Christ, he doesn't, well, in all honesty, none of us are worthy. But we have the blood of Christ that covers us. And death, sin, and death pass over us through Christ. There is a piece of paper. It's actually your sermon notes. At the bottom of your sermon notes, some of you didn't even know there were sermon notes, but they're in there every week. On the back page down at the bottom, it says tear here. And so here's what I want you to do. I want to invite you. There's no one's required to do this, but I want to invite you to tear that sermon note page right there. And I want to, you can read, but I want to read it with you. Below that it says, in Christ, I have been redeemed through his blood, and he has forgiven me, so I don't have to carry this anymore. And then there's a blank line, what for the this? Notice there's no place for you to write your name. Nobody's going to know anybody who put what. This is from the early service. I invite you to write. I feel like the Holy Spirit's probably convicting all of us, stuff that we've been kind of carrying around, that weight. And he wants, just like Ty did, just laid it at the foot of the altar. Christ says, I want to carry that for you. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. And I will give you rest. That's the heart of Jesus for us. He doesn't want you carrying that junk anymore. So I invite you to write a word. It can just be any word that's symbolic of what you are giving to him, what you are laying down. In just a moment, I want to invite the praise team to come on back up. I'm going to invite you as we sing this last song to come up and place your sheet in that this bowl here on the altar table. We also, I want to remind you, or I want to tell you, I don't think we've talked about it, I'll be doing a baptism at the end of our service today. So God is moving in our midst. So please stay and celebrate with that family. So as we close, I'm going to pray. As we close, I invite you to come forward and to lay your stuff, lay your weight, your burden. That song, lay your burden down. That's what God wants us to do. So if you'll just pray with me. Father, thank you for redeeming us, forgiving us through your blood. Thank you that you intentionally went to the cross for us so that we don't have to carry this junk anymore. I thank you that you want us to be free, to live with freedom. You want our slate to be wiped clean. Maybe you've wiped it clean and maybe we're hanging on to it. Give us courage and freedom today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to come.
Oh, Lord, my God.
Come on out, buddy. We're waiting for a few more kiddos to come out. I'll let you stand right down there. Josh, family, y'all, if y'all want to come up here, come on. Family, friends, the whole crew's fine. Come on. Y'all come right on up here. We've got cameras. They can see. You're not going to block anybody. How's that water, buddy? Is that still running? There we go. Fighting, you're having to swim upstream there, man. Get used to that. Y'all can, I promise, it's okay. Y'all come on. Y'all are all family here. You know, they can see. They can see with cameras. We got them fixed up. Just letting all the kids come. Okay. Josh Corrigan, and one of our youth, and God is moving in our children and our youth, and we're excited about that. Josh, it's exciting that you came to Brent and said you wanted to be baptized, and we've talked, and so we start off with that, what we talked about today in the sermon, that we are all sinners. Do you confess that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin? And to live in your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Amen. And you want to be baptized in that faith this morning? Amen. If you will sit right there and hold your nose. Josh, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, stay right there, buddy. Stay right there. If y'all can scrunch in here, and if you can get a hand to him, if you can't, put it on somebody in front of you. And you, Mom, can you get in there? All right. And one of the things, Josh, we talked about was that God sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of us, so we're going to pray that, okay, buddy? Mm-hmm. All right, Lord, thank you for dying for Josh. Thank you, Father, that you love him and he loves you back. And I thank you that you have indeed washed him as white as snow, God. May you fill him with your Holy Spirit. Father, may you raise him up as he grows up and as he matures even more, God. I pray that you'd raise him up into a mighty man of God, and Father, that he would walk with you all the days of his life. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and bless him and bless this family, extended family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. He's got a towel for you. Church, if you arise, if you are able, as you hear this benediction. Christ loves you. He has wiped your slate clean. Leave your weight here. Don't take any out with you. No weights going out allowed. Leave it here. We have good news. Go and tell someone. God bless you. Pick up your kids up front.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living word, and there's life in God's word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.